broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Zandile Mkhwanazi, the founder and CEO of Girl Code, joins us now in studio. Such a pleasure to have you, ma'am.
Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me. I'm super excited for this conversation.
Oh, we're excited to have you. It was wonderful to see the social media post and read up on your story. You've been on a phenomenal journey. So maybe let's start there. For anyone who's not familiar with Girl Code, it's not the kind of conversation or private conversations we have in our corners, but even though that might apply, but there's a lot more depth to it. Tell us more about your organization.
Yes. So Girl Code is a social enterprise aimed at empowering young girls and women through technology. And basically, we believe that, we need more girls. We need more women in the technology space. We need them to innovate. It is quite male dominated, right? If you think about our apps, if you think about the top CEOs, it's men. Like, we want to change that narrative. When you think about technology, we want a woman, and more specifically a black woman, to come, at the forefront. And right now, we're just trying to reshape all of that by really like training and getting girls excited about technology from as young as 8 years old. We go into schools, we introduce them to robotics, we introduce them to coding. We work with also unemployed women by giving them these skills that are required.
Yes.
And then try and get them jobs within tech companies. So essentially that's the mandate of Girl Code, and we've been doing this for the past 10 years. So yeah.
Tell us why it's so important to you.
Wow, I think as someone who first entered the tech space after graduating from WITS, I realized that there's not a lot of women, right? I was often in spaces where it's a lot of men. I'm one of only a few, if not the only. And for me, that's not a good narrative. It's not a good thing to be the only female. It's not a good thing to be the only black female, considering that we are the majority, right?
Yes.
So for me, it's a personal thing and a purpose-driven thing that I want to make sure that young girls see themselves in these places. They see themselves being represented. And more than anything, they believe that they're capable. And they know that they're capable. And the only thing standing between that is opportunity. I put a laptop in front of a girl, give them access to the internet, show them the tools, and then you can see what they're capable of.
Oh, man, I love it. And for anyone who's taken a look at your website, it's beautiful. Not only do you live by what you're saying, given that you have a phenomenal team of black female facilitators,
yes.
All of them.
Yes.
And not only that, but you also make your courses so affordable for people to access in terms of the basic tools and training that they require to make sure that they can code. This, as you say, has taken years of work and effort. 10 years in the game is nothing to scoff at. How have you done it? Because we've been through the pandemic. We know that for NPOs as well, getting the necessary level of support is also necessary, driving the sustainability behind it, and of course, measuring the outcomes of the impact you have, right? Because that's important for the funders and supporters who are part of your initiative.
Yes. It's been quite the journey, right? I started when I was 23.
Congratulations, but that needs to be celebrated. Let's get horns, Moody Baby, on standby.
Yeah, so I was a baby. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I think it talks to just in general, start where you are with what you have, right? I didn't have the resources, the funding, the big companies, just the drive and understanding that something has to change and it has to be me that makes the change happen, right? There's actually a quote that I heard recently where someone was saying that if there's a book that you can't find, then it means that the mandate is on you to write it, right? So if I was in spaces where I'm like, I can't find other women, I can't find other black women, then it was on me to then create spaces where I can look around and say, oh, here we are.
Yes.
So that's how initially I started. And like you said, pandemic for us, I think, also was a great opportunity, right? Because I think then everybody woke up to the fact that we need these skills. We need to take upskilling technology seriously if we're going to innovate, if we are going to be ahead of the curve. So as much as during that year, we didn't get a lot of funding, obviously companies were focused on other things, but it woke them up to a point where in 2021, companies were coming to us now and saying, hold up, actually, we need what you're doing, and we want to support you. And that funding for that year actually led to us having a campus in Midrand where we accommodate 30 students at a time. And, we've got our office space now with 12 black women, like you said.
Beautiful.
So it's been quite the journey. Of course, lots of challenges, but I think, like anything in life, if you really want to change the system, if you want to change the status quo, you have to put yourself out there. You have to do it while, you know, being scared. So that's what I've done.
Give us the juice on the challenges. What were they and how did you overcome them?
Yeah, so I think a lot of the challenges, one is around funding. So Gold Code primarily is an NPO. It's registered as a non-profit organization, which means that we rely a lot on companies to fund the work that we're doing. You talked earlier about sustainability. That's not sustainable, unfortunately, because also company mandates change.
Yes.
And if today they're focusing on green technology, then it's like, okay, we can't find you because that's not what you do. So in moving forward, one of the things is we have to introduce courses, but still make them affordable, because at the core and the heart of what we do, it's about empowering underrepresented girls and women, right? So we don't want it to be expensive to the point that they can't benefit from this. So funding, biggest challenge. And I think, like, you know, just nuances of understanding growth as an entrepreneur. This year, I've undertaken a lot of courses to understand how to be a leader.
Beautiful.
You know, I've never saw myself as someone who will be a leader one day. Like, I never had this aspiration, I'm going to be a manager, a CEO. So now having a team that relies on me to set the vision and to sort of guide them, I've had to, like, also retrospect and be like, okay. Because I'm actually a very, like, sort of shy person. I like being in my own space.
Really?
I don't really interact.
That fits the mold of coders, though, and business analysts,
you know,
and
so,
data scientists like yourself.
Exactly. And it's just trying to figure out then how to put myself out there and how to communicate with my team, right?
Yes.
Like, advocating, I can do. I'm like, we need girls. I can go out there and do it. But in terms of leading a team and helping us grow, I've had to do a lot of personal growth. And that's some of the challenges that I've had to navigate.
That is such a beautiful, reflective point that you shared with us. And I think so poignant, because so oftentimes entrepreneurs start something, you see the vision, you know it, you share it, you spread it out there. But to take the opportunity to say, I'm going to unplug for a moment, I'm going to self-respect and see what I can do to better myself. And as a result, that will have a ripple effect on the organization and the team that I work with. That takes a lot of maturity and a great level of, self-worth and self-evaluation.
Thank you.
So well done.
Thank you. Very important.
If you've just joined us, it's just after 7:30. You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959, and we are in conversation with Zandile Mkhwanazi, the founder and CEO of Girl Code. If you don't know by now, it's an organization, non-profit organization, that's been running for at least 10 years and has found great success in empowering young girls from as young as the age of 8, encouraging them to make sure that they participate in the STEM studies, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, and primarily teaching them how to code. And maybe, Zandile, that's a good point. So often when we talk about coding, and I think about this because my eldest niece is probably, 21? And I think about my mom, who's in her early 60s. And when we have these conversations about coding, I'm right in the middle, right, where I don't necessarily know how to fully code and put together a program or a game or, you know, any new technological item. But I also know enough to get by, because I can throw around words like Python. And, you know, some of my friends in programming think, hold on, girl, don't say that too loudly. It's not everything that we do. But explain coding 101. What is it? Why is it important? And why should all generations really be taking a heightened interest in this?
Yeah, so coding, it's, you can think of it as a language, right?
Yes.
The way we have different speaking languages, coding is a language that a computer understands. And like languages, there's multiple languages, Python being one of them. And by the way, Python is in demand. It's in demand right now. So if you want to start, it's also a great language to start, because it's closer to spoken language in terms of the syntax, you know, so it's easier to understand when you are a beginner. So that's
in my mind, you know what's come up? you know, the screen that comes up when you're adding the coding and the different colors and the letters and the numbers. Yes. That's what I'm seeing right now.
Yes. So essentially, that's what it is. And once you think of it that way, then it becomes less intimidating, right? Because you're just learning a language that a computer understands, and then you learn how to write that language, and you learn how to instruct the computer to do what you want it to do, whether it's building an app, a game, whatever it is. And so it's quite important for us that we get young people, girls, yes, but also boys, to start learning this language, which is something that I'm particularly passionate about. Like, we go into communities across the country, right? Actually, with one of our partners, Vumatel, where they've already put in the infrastructure of internet in the school. We come in and we go into, like I said, from 8 years old. We go in and we're teaching the girls, and some boys are actually part of our programs. And you're saying, this is it. Like, you learn it, and for them, you know, they don't have biases. Like, oh, what is, you know, it's not for me. So they learn and they build and they're excited.
What's the feedback been like?
It's been amazing. I think one story I always go back to is we were at a school in Mamelodi, and a lot of the girls had never seen a computer.
Wow.
Right? They'd never interacted with a computer. They've seen it on TV. They know the concept, but they've actually never physically interacted with it. And so we're teaching them.
So you're teaching them the basics as well, from the hardware, the keyboard,
interact with the mouse. This is a mouse. This is what how it works. And I remember one of the girls at the back, she just was just like, no, ma'am, I'm scared. I refer to us as ma'am. Yes. But I'm like, you know, I'm scared. I don't want to break anything. And had to kind of sort of break it down to her and also speak to her in a language she understands, right? So speaking in Sotho, I was like, just hold it. Click, nothing is going to break. And by the end of the lesson, she was actually explaining to other people, you know, to the other girls in the classroom. And for me, it was like, it's not like
180. Hey?
In her head, she thought, I'm not smart. This thing is not for me. But like, she was so brilliant. You know, you just had to explain in the language she understands and be patient. Mm-hmm. And that's what's lacking, right? Again, it's that opportunity to give someone like that to say, actually, you can do this. And who knows what you can create now that your mind has unlocked to the possibilities of what's there. And for me, that's the magical thing. And that's the work that we do with young girls. And like, when you see that, like I said, they're unfiltered, right? They're not exposed to the world like we are. So as much as they're scared, they're still open to learning. And then when they start learning, the magic happens, and you see that, oh, and they're like, ma'am, can I do this with it? Can I do that? Can I build that? It's like, yeah,
right?
You can.
What I love about this example is that it speaks to something that is so necessary that we need to teach our youth. And perhaps you and I have seen this and many others through our travels, is that when you go to certain markets, you can tell that there's a certain confidence that younger Asian, white, American, European students might have, given that they've, you know, they've played and tried different things before. So there's a confidence that, okay, even if I don't understand this, I will learn how to use it. And I think that's important. You actually came from Texas. You were attending an Afrotech conference, as you mentioned, off air to me. But I'm keen for you just to take us into, you know, the enhanced global exposure that you're getting as a leader of Girl Code, and some of the nuances you're picking up in terms of not only the confidence, but the technology and the people who are using technology abroad and coding versus what we see in South Africa and Africa, and where we can find a level of alignment to make sure that we're all on par in terms of being globally competitive.
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing is just sort of access, right? Access, I'm talking about internet, I'm talking about infrastructure. When you go to other parts of the world, you know, the Western world, you realize that, wow, they have a lot more access to be more innovative. And for us, it's already a barrier, right? Before you can even innovate, like the example I just said, you've never seen a laptop. You don't have access to the internet. Data is expensive. So we are so far behind. People are now talking AI. Quantum computing is coming up.
Yes.
We are, and for me, that's the sad part, is that we are so far behind. But it's not all doom and gloom, right? It means by gaining this type of exposure, we also know how to prepare ourselves. Mm-hmm. We can come back into the country and say, guys, this is what's happening in the world. How do we accelerate what we can do? How do we accelerate innovation? And more than anything, I think, like, the youth and young people that are in townships, that are in rural areas, those are the people that can actually innovate faster than anybody.
Right.
Because they are in the root of the problems.
And so, there's no preconceived ideas as to what the solution needs to be. Yeah,
exactly, right? And all we need to do is just give them the tools and say, here's the tools. Here's what you can do with AI. You don't have to be scared of it. It's been said over and over. Like, AI is not going to take your job. Someone who knows how to use it is going to take your job, right? Yes. So if there's someone who knows AI and you don't, that's who's taking it. It's not the AI itself. So that's it. That's like, how do we get into communities? How do we put this in their hands and say, what can you create? Look around you.
Yeah.
Like, what are the solutions that you can create with this, right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing that you're seeing. And we've actually started entering other African markets. This year we were in Kenya, as Botswana. So now it's interesting to start seeing what other young people and how they think, right? Like in Kenya, wow, those girls are like determined. Hey, they are like, we want to work, we want to make our lives better. And I think when someone is really in a dire situation, they just have that hunger to say, I need to do something to get out of it. And it is our job and our responsibility. And ask for Gold Code to say, we'll give you the platform. We'll give you access to companies. We'll give you access to resources so that you can show what you can innovate and you can, you know, help yourself get out of the situation that you're in. Because where you start is not where you... It doesn't have to be where you end up. And that's kind of what we're about at Gold Code.
I'm so excited, and I feel like I've been missing out as well because I haven't been deliberate or intentional about making sure that I can code adequately. So a threefold question. Number one, for anyone who's listening, male or woman, tell us why we need to code and how we can get there. Number two, for the funders and supporters who are out there, whether corporates or individuals in their personal capacities, how can we help you? And what is the major thing that you need?
All right, so I think that there's a lot on the internet, of course, and it can get quite overwhelming. So finding organizations is the best way to enter, right? Because you have that supportive network. And we've also recently introduced programs where you don't have to be like, you know, the people always complain, why is it youth only like 18 to 35?
Yes, hey, because the rest of us.
Yes.
Well, I'm still a youth nyana.
Yeah, you know, but what if I'm over 35? So how do I get into that? So I would say definitely like research. HTML, CSS, JavaScript is the basics. It's about building.
Say that again slowly everyone else who doesn't understand it.
HTML, yes. CSS, and JavaScript. It's really just about how do you create a website. The basics of creating a website. You learn it and you create people's website. You're like, hey, Google, I've built a website for you, you know. Have a look at it or go to the church and say, let me build you your website. Mm-hmm. So I would say, look at that. I think what's also interesting, though, is low-code and no-code applications are now becoming a thing. And what that means is that you can actually build a website without actually knowing how to code, right? Oh. So you can start building games and apps and all these things without necessarily doing the coding yourself.
Okay.
And that's where like AI now is also going to play.
It's assisting you in terms
of, you know, but for someone who's like, I want to learn Python. I know, yeah, but definitely that is the first language I would encourage because it's somewhat easier to learn. Like I said, the syntax is more spoken language as opposed to the other programming languages. So I would encourage you do that and find different communities where you can learn with other people. You know, it's not easy to learn alone. And then in terms of companies and individuals getting involved, like I said, as a nonprofit, it's quite difficult to sustain yourself because you always need financial support. So we have, amazingly, we have individuals that, you know, in their own capacity sponsor a Gold Child to be in our program. So if you're someone that has that capacity financially, definitely like reach out to us. Same with companies that really want to make sure that we have a more diverse tech industry. We have more women being represented. We always like excited to work with them. So
all the telcos need to come forward.
All the yes.
Because they need, everyone really, even the retailers, they need data analysts and business analysts.
You know what? ShopRite this year hired the most girls from us.
Really?
ShopRite 60-60. Right? They're becoming a technology company. Technology is taking over everywhere.
What Google buys, right? How often she buys, have?
That's data analytics. That's predict. You need to predict. And guess what? That's Python. You know. So, so yeah, they are hiring. So technology. You don't need to think of it as just in the technology space. And just a quick example as well. My mom is a nurse, right? For a private hospital, and now she was telling me she has to learn robotics because now when they when they're operating, they need to assist the doctor by actually like doing stuff on the robot and learning basic programming. And she was just like, I'm too old for this, but she's learning. She's enrolled in a course.
You've said is something that sticks, and I think will stick and should stick with everyone, that AI will not take your job, but it's the person who knows how to use AI.
Yes. That's exactly
my goodness.
In her old age, she's learning how to operate a robot and assist the doctors.
Mama, so, wow. Mama, we're proud of you. And then any assistance, how can we assist? If we can't assist financially, you know, if it is financially, well, I guess it's limitless. Keep pouring into. Yes. But if there are other ways of supporting the organization, what else can we do?
Definitely. We rely a lot on volunteers to help with our programs, to help, you know, run even the teaching of the coding classes on weekends, that's actually volunteers, you know.
Beautiful.
So people that are working in tech companies, they basically come on Saturday mornings. So we run the classes online on Saturdays. We go to school. So volunteer, there's a lot of ways to volunteer. And if there isn't something specific that we've put out, reach out to us, because sometimes we also don't know. We've had people come and say, can I put a marketing strategy for you? I was like, yes, please do. If you're an expert, right?
Beautiful.
Because we are a small team, so we do need people to come on board and support us.
Definitely. Yeah. Sandile, we wish you all the best. Ms. Mokwana, as you fly, soar, and take the hundreds and thousands and millions of girls with you. I'm aware that the target is to reach 10 million girls by the year 2030. So slowly but surely, one girl at a time, we'll definitely get there. And I'm hoping that there are many other people who will contribute to your growth who are listening to us this evening. But thank you again.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity. We're just passionate about making sure the girl child has opportunities in the space. Like, technology is already here.
Yeah.
It's already taken over, and we also need to be at the forefront.
Definitely. That is the CEO and founder of Girl Code, Zandile Mkhwanazi. Make sure that you just literally type in Girl Code, you'll get access to their website, find them on social media, and of course direct contacts as to how best to help them and support them in the initiative of driving more women in and girls involved in technology.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.